Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman, member by Ram Goldar, and today Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Chaf, the second parak, Ketzad HaRegel. So the three Dafs are going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah taught that for Shein damages in Rishus HaRabim, one pays for Hana, the animal derived. Amorim dispute the amount paid. Rabba says, the Me Amir, he only pays the value of straw for the amount eaten, even if the animal ate relatively expensive barley, because the owner can say he would have fed the animal straw and only benefited that amount. Rava says, the Mesa Orim Bazol, he pays the value of barley when it's inexpensive. Rashi defines this as two-thirds the normal market price for barley. Mepharshim explained that we assume anyone would be willing to feed his animal barley at such a discount. A brisa is brought in support of each opinion, and the second brisa adds that since we evaluate payment based on what is appropriate from the animal, Lafika Achol Chitin or Davar Harava Patura, therefore, if it ate wheat or anything bad for it, it's exempt. Point number two, Rav Chisra related to Rami Bar Chama a discussion which he had missed. Hadar b'chatzor chaver shel madaito. If one lives in his friend's yard without his knowledge, sarcho halos lo sachar or ein sarch, does he have to pay him rent or not? The Gemara clarifies the case. B'chatzor de l'kaim l'agra, with a yard which is not for rent, b'gavr david l'megar, but a person who usually rents. It's thus a case of zenene v'zelo chaser. This one benefits and this other one does not lose. Can the one living there say ma'ki sartich? What loss have I caused you by staying there since he doesn't rent it out anyway? Or can the owner say to him, Haisanis, you have benefited by staying in my yard since he would have had to rent another residence? Rami Bar Chama suggested a proof from our Mishnah which obligates paying for the hana that the animal derived from the produce it ate. Rava marveled at the divine assistance Rami Bar Chama enjoyed that Rav Chista accepted a proof which is not analogous, since in the Mishnah's case, the owner of the produce sustains a loss. Rami Bar Chama held that one who leaves produce in Rishus HaRabim is essentially abandoning it and is not sustaining a loss. And point number three, Rav Kahana quoted Rav Yochanan as saying, one does not pay rent for zenene v'zul chaser. Rav Yavo quoted Rav Yochanan as saying, he does pay rent. But Rav Papa explained it was based on an inference. A Mishnah teaches that if one takes a stone or beam from Hekdesh and builds it into his house, he does not commit me'il until he dwells under it a pruta's worth of dwelling. Rabbi Avo is sitting before Rabbi Yochanan and quoted Shmuel saying that this Mishnah proves that one must pay rent for living in his friend's house without his knowledge. The benefit was derived with Hekdesh's knowledge, so to speak, and does not cause it a loss, yet he commits Me'ilah. This proves it's considered a monetary benefit received. Rabbi Avo interpreted Rabbi Yochanan's silence as agreement, but the Gemara explains that he ignored it because the proof is flawed based on Rabbi's statement. Hekdesh u'madas kehedyot madas dami. Benefiting from Hekdesh without its knowledge is like benefiting from an ordinary person with his knowledge. Tosos explains this to mean that the law of Me'ilah is akin to one who protests in advance not to allow using his property without payment. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Mishnah taught that for Shein damages in Rishus HaRabim, one pays for Hana, the animal derived. Amorim dispute the amount paid. Rabba says, the Me Amir, he only pays the value of straw for the amount eaten, even if the animal ate relatively expensive barley, because the owner can say he would have fed the animal straw and only benefited that amount. Rabba says, the Mesa Orim Bazol, he pays the value of barley when it's inexpensive. Rashi defines this as two-thirds the normal market price for barley. Mepharshim explained that we assume anyone would be willing to feed his animal barley at such a discount. A brisa is brought in support of each opinion, and the second brisa adds that since we evaluate payment based on what is appropriate from the animal, lafika achol chitin or davar harava patura, therefore, if it ate wheat or anything bad for it, it's exempt. Point number two, Rav Chisra related to Rami Bar Chama a discussion which he had missed. Hadar b'chatzor chaver shel madaito. If one lives in his friend's yard without his knowledge, sarcho halos lo sachar or ein sarch, does he have to pay him rent or not? The Gemara clarifies the case. B'chatzor de l'kaim l'agra, with a yard which is not for rent, b'gavr david l'megar, but a person who usually rents. It's thus a case of zenene v'zelo chaser. This one benefits and this other one does not lose. Can the one living there say ma'ki sartich? What loss have I caused you by staying there since he doesn't rent it out anyway? Or can the owner say to him, Haisanis, you have benefited by staying in my yard since he would have had to rent another residence? Rami Bar Chama suggested a proof from our Mishnah which obligates paying for the hana that the animal derived from the produce it ate. Rava marveled at the divine assistance Rami Bar Chama enjoyed that Rav Chista accepted a proof which is not analogous, since in the Mishnah's case, the owner of the produce sustains a loss. Rami Bar Chama held that one who leaves produce in Rishus HaRabim is essentially abandoning it and is not sustaining a loss. And point number three, Rav Kahana quoted Rav Yochanan as saying, one does not pay rent for zenene v'zul chaser. Rav Yavo quoted Rav Yochanan as saying, he does pay rent. But Rav Papa explained it was based on an inference. A Mishnah teaches that if one takes a stone or beam from Hekdesh and builds it into his house, he does not commit me'il until he dwells under it a pruta's worth of dwelling. Rabbi Avo is sitting before Rabbi Yochanan, quoted Shmuel saying that this Mishnah proves that one must pay rent for living in his friend's house without his knowledge. The benefit was derived with Hekdesh's knowledge, so to speak, and does not cause it a loss, yet he commits Me'ilah. This proves it's considered a monetary benefit received. Rabbi Avo interpreted Rabbi Yochanan's silence as agreement, but the Gemara explains that he ignored it because the proof is flawed based on Rabbi's statement. Hekdesh shel medas kehedyot medas dami. Benefiting from Hekdesh without its knowledge is like benefiting from an ordinary person with his knowledge. Tosos explains this to mean that the law of Me'ilah is akin to one who protests in advance not to allow using his property without payment. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Chaf, and our standard Siman is a cafe. A cafe. So here goes. The two people arguing in the Shane Cafe whether Hana is paid, according to Deme Amir or Deme Sa'orim Bezol, woke up a guy next door in the cafe's courtyard who'd been sleeping there without the owner's knowledge, who was informed by a waiter that the stone he had been sleeping under was Hekdesh. Once again, slow motion. The two people arguing in the Shane Cafe, that must be more in Daf Chaf. The two people arguing in the Shane Cafe whether Hana is paid, according to Deme Amir or Deme Sa'orim Bezol, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that for Shane damages in Rishus of Rabim, one pays for Hana the animal derived. Amarim dispute the amount paid. Rabbah says Deme Amir, he only pays the value of the straw for the amount eaten, even if the animal ate relatively expensive barley, because the owner can say he would have fed the animal straw and only benefited that amount. Rava says to Mesa Orin Bazol, he pays the value of barley when it's inexpensive. So the two people arguing in the Shane Cafe whether Hana is paid, according to Deme Amir or Deme Sa'orim Bazol, woke up a guy next door in the cafe's courtyard who had been sleeping there without the owner's knowledge, which reminds us, Rav Chisra related to Rami Bar-Hama a discussion which he had missed. Hadar b'chatzur chaver shel madaito, if one lives in his friend's yard without his knowledge, does he have to pay him rent or not? The Gemara clarifies the case with a yard which is not for rent, but a person who usually rents. It's therefore a case of zenanev azul chaser. This one benefits, and this other one does not lose. Can the one living there say, what loss have I caused you by staying there, since he doesn't rent it out anyway? Or can the owner say to him, you have benefited staying in my yard, since he would have had to rent another residence? So the two people arguing in the Shane Cafe whether Hana is paid, according to Deme Amir or Deme Sa'orim Bezol, woke up a guy next door in the cafe's courtyard who had been sleeping there without the owner's knowledge, who was informed by a waiter that the stone he had been sleeping under was Hekdesh, which reminds us, a Mishnah teaches that if one takes a stone or a beam from Hekdesh and builds it into his house, he doesn't commit Me'ilah until he dwells under it a pruta's worth of dwelling. So once again, the two people arguing in the Shane Cafe whether Hana is paid, according to Deme Amir or Deme Sa'orim Bezol, woke up a guy next door in the cafe's courtyard who had been sleeping there without the owner's knowledge, who was informed by a waiter that the stone he had been sleeping under was Hekdesh. All right, so now it's time for Vor Blabach Hazar. Daf Tezayin. So the Simur Daf Tezayin is toes, and we often use an acrobat with large toes. So here goes. When the acrobat's ox, who also had large toes, acrobat, large toes, that must be on Daf Tezayin. When the acrobat's ox, who also had large toes, hopped onto the large jugs in Rishus HaRabim and destroyed them, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether an animal is mu'ud to squat on jugs and if there's enough gamina between large and small jugs. So when the acrobat's ox, who also had large toes, hopped onto the large jugs in Rishus HaRabim and destroyed them to avoid the lion who is seizing animals to eat them, which reminds us, Shmuel says, Ari b'Rishus HaRabim, where a lion attacks an animal, in Rishus HaRabim, Daras v'Achol Pater, if it seized it and ate it while it was alive, its owner is exempt, Tar v'Achol Chayv, but if it tore the animal to death and then ate it, he's Chayv. Since it's normal for a lion to seize and devour its prey alive, it's the equivalent of an animal eating produce, which is exempt as Shein in Rishus HaRabim. Tearing the prey to death first is unusual for a lion, and is classified as Karen and as Chayv half damages in Rishus HaRabim. So when the acrobat's ox, who also had large toes, hopped onto the large jugs in Rishus HaRabim and destroyed them, to avoid the lion who was seizing animals to eat them, the acrobat saved the ox by dropping the Ma'bein Tam L'Mu'ud sign on top of the lion, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Ma'bein Tam L'Mu'ud, what's the difference between the laws of a Tam and a Mu'ud? Ella, Sha'atam Misham Chetzi Nezek Magufa, only that regarding a Tam, one pays half damages from the animal's body, meaning the payment is limited to the value of the damaging animal. Mu'ud Misham Nezek Shalom Mina Aliyah, whereas regarding a Mu'ud, one pays full damages from the Aliyah, even if it exceeds his animal's value. Daf Yud Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Yud Zayin is a used car salesman. So here goes. The used car salesman, that must be more in Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman from Yisachar and Yosef Motors, who loved to earn Torah and lend out his cars, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan quoted Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai commenting on the pasuk, Hashreichem zorei al kol mayim, mishalchei regel ashtor v'chamor. Praiseworthy are you who sow by all waters, who send forth the feet of the ox and the donkey. This teaches kol osik b'tor gemilas chasadim, whoever occupies himself with Torah learning and bestowing kindness, zochel enachlu shnei shvatim, merits the inheritance of two shvatim, referring to Yosef and Yisachar. He presents psukim demonstrating that zri aludes to tzedaka and that mayim aludes to Torah. So the used car salesman from Yisachar and Yosef Motors, who loved to learn Torah and lend out his cars, was oblivious when a hog digging in the ground kicked up some pebbles that broke his car's windshield, which reminds us. The Gemara quotes three brises demonstrating that the law of tzroros is a machlokas whether one pays half or full damages, one case being that of a hog which was digging and caused pebbles to fly and damage. Rava ultimately explains that all Tanaim agree that kocho kagufo dami, one's force is like his body, and such damage is considered direct. Still, the Rabbanan hold, v'chetzi nezik tzroros hilchos gemirila, half damage payment for tzroros was received as a halacha hosh misinai. So the used car salesman from Yisachar and Yosef Motors, who loved to learn Torah and lend out his cars, was oblivious when a hog digging in the ground kicked up some pebbles that broke his car's windshield, while one of his sons dropped clay pots from the roof, while another son smashed them with a bat on the way down, which reminds us, Rava asked, if an animal trampled a kli but didn't break it immediately, and then it rolled elsewhere and broke on impact, what's the halacha? Basa mikar, do we follow the beginning of the process, and it's therefore the animal's body which broke the kli? Or do we follow the moment of the kli's breaking and it beats tzroros? The Gemara said this question can be resolved from Rava's ruling, Zara kli marosha dug, if one threw a kli from the top of a roof and someone else came and broke it with a stick, the second person is pater from paying, damrinu le manatavir tabar, because we say to him, he's merely broken an already broken kli. Since we consider the kli broken at the beginning of the process, the damage in Rava's case should be considered inflicted directly by the animal's body and pay in full. Daf Yud Ches, so the simmer Daf Yud Ches is a chuppah because Ben Yud Ches will chuppah. Someone who's 18 should go to chuppah. So here goes. The chuppah, that must be on Daf Yud Ches. The chuppah on the farm was a disaster when a chicken pecked away at a rope causing the glass under the chassan's foot to roll and break. Which reminds us, the Gemara attempts to resolve Rava's question, if we follow the beginning of the breaking process or the moment a kli actually breaks regarding sroros. We try to resolve from the case of a chicken's pecking away at a rope of a bucket and the rope snapped and the bucket broke, he pays full damages. The Gemara goes on to clarify what the case was. So the chuppah on the farm was a disaster when a chicken pecked away at a rope causing the glass under the chassan's foot to roll and break, frightening a dog which ran with a biscuit on fire towards a heap of grain, which reminds us, Rava asked, Chasinazik Tzroros, regarding half damage payments for Tzroros, Mugufu Masham, does he pay from the animal's body, meaning liability cannot exceed the damaging animal's value, or Ma'aliya Mashalim, or does he pay from choice property without limit? On the one hand, no half damages are paid Ma'aliya, meaning Karen pays Mugufu, but on the other hand, there's no precedent for Regal paying Mugufu. A Mishnah is quoted which states, the dog which took a biscuit from coals and went to a heap of grain, ate the biscuit and set the grain on fire with the coal stuck to the biscuit, the owner pays full damages for the biscuit and half damages for the grain. The Gemara goes on to analyze this case. So the chuppah on the farm was a disaster when a chicken pecked away at a rope, causing the glass under the chassan's foot to roll and break, frightening a dog which ran with a biscuit on fire towards a heap of grain, where an ox was dropping sroros dung into the dough of the wedding cake, which reminds us, Rava asks, is there muad for tzroros, or is there no muad for tzroros? Rashi explains that this refers to normal tzroros. Do we compare it to Karen, since it only pays half damages, and should share the halacha of Karen to pay fully after three times? Or dim with told of the regal, or perhaps we say it's a told of a regal being common even the first time, and since only half damages are paid, this continues even beyond three times. The Gemara attempts to answer from a brisa which discusses an animal which dropped dung onto dough, where Rebbe Yehuda requires full payment, and Rebbe Elazar obligates half damages. Daf Yud Tes, so the simmer Daf Yud Tes is a yacht, so here goes. The cow kicked up tzroros in Rishus of Rabim, which tore holes through the sail on the Nizak's yacht, that must be more in Daf Yud Tes. The cow who picked up tzroros in Rishus of Rabim, which tore holes through the sail on the Nizak's yacht, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what the halakha is in a case where a cow kicks tzroros in Rishus of Rabim and it damages in Rishus of Yachid. So the cow who kicked up tzroros in Rishus of Rabim, which tore holes through the sail on the Nizak's yacht, stood next to the cow excessively swishing his tail and breaking pots, which reminds us, we learned that in a case where a cow is excessively swishing his tail, which is less common than ordinary regal, and it breaks something in Rishus of Rabim, then the person is pater. So the cow kicked up its roros in Rishus of Rabim, which tore holes through the sail on the Nizuk's yacht, stood next to the cow excessively swishing his tail and breaking pots while eating barley, which is usually eaten by donkeys, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Kate said Hashem Mu'edis regarding what is an animal's tooth mu'ed, lechos ruila, to eat what is fit for it. The Mishnah adds that even in Rishus Rabbim, where Shane is exempt from paying damages, the owner must still pay for hanad deriving the animal. A brisa teaches that if a cow eats barley, usually eaten by donkeys, or a donkey eats vetch, usually eaten by cows, the owner pays full damages. We see from here that anything which is not its normal food, ma'achal al yirei adchak, shmeachila, but would eat it out of necessity, it's called eating and not destructive karen. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you want that whoever is osik in Torah and gemil sasadim is zochel and nachlas shnei shvatim, merits the inheritance of two shvatim? That's on daf Yud Zayin. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you want that one who builds hekdesh into his house is only ma'al once he sleeps under it, the value of a shava pruta? That's on daf Chaf. Good. Number 3. Which stuff be the case of a cow dropping tzroro's dung into dough? That's on daf Yod Ches. Good. Number 4. Which stuff of Mokos regarding how to evaluate Hana? Is it Deme Amir or Deme Seorim Bezol? That's on Daf Chaf. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you know if a cow eats barley, which is typically donkey food, that owner pays full damages? That's on Daf Yod Ches. Good. Number 6. Which stuff be the case of a cow kicking Sroros in Rishus rubbing and damaging in Rishus and Nizak? That's on Daf Yod Tes. Good. Number 7. Which stuff is the case of Zenene Vezilo Chasser with a man who usually rents sleeping in a courtyard that one usually does not rent out? That's on Daf Chaf. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you discuss what the din is regarding an animal squatting on jugs and the nafkamina, whether they're large or small? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number 9. Which stuff is the case of a chicken pecking at a rope that snaps, causing a bucket to break? That's on Daf Yud Ches. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we discuss who is chayv in a case of someone dropping kaling from a roof and another person smashing them on the way down? That's on Daf Yud Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.